Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Another episode of Plot Smokers. Another hilarious, fun-filled episode of Plot Smokers. It's been a while. I haven't done one of these in a while, but I'm back and better than ever. I'm doing this one solo, so buckle up. Look, the movie I'm doing today is a little movie you might remember from the year 1990 called Pretty Woman, starring an unknown Julia Roberts at the time and Richard Gere. It was one of the biggest movies of that summer, one of the surprise hits. I think it made about $430 million, directed by Gary Marshall. I didn't really like this movie when it came out, but I think it's been pretty problematic since it came out. I would hope so. It's just like, where to start with this movie? So many problems. I think it's supposed to be, you know, loosely based on My Fair Lady, which is, you know, I guess about some Cockney British woman, and, you know, he meets a guy from like the kind of like the upper crust of the British aristocracy and turns her into a lady. So I guess that's what the pitch for this was. It was like, it's like my Fair Lady, except she's a whore. And they're like, we're in. And I think it was Disney that made it. That's another just weird. It's just everything about this movie is fucking weird. I was reading about it, and it's based on a book, and it was like a very dark, unhappy story about a woman who's a prostitute. And I think it was called $3,000 or something. It was, the name of it was after the amount of money he gives her for the weekend. So basically, premise of this podcast, if you don't remember, is get high and go through the plot of a movie, dissect it as best you can. Because, you know, sometimes when you're high, you kind of see things from a different perspective. So that's what we're going to do. Even though this is a pretty straight on take on this movie. So basically, but I did watch this and notice a few funny things that I'll get to the funny parts. Don't worry. So I guess it's problematic. First of all, there's a huge age difference. I think he's like 42 or three, even though he looks so fucking old. He's like younger than I am now. He looks so fucking old in it. He does look, I mean, he looks fine. And, you know, she's like 23. That's the first one. But I guess that's like not even that's like the fifth problem with this. And the second one is she's basically, it's, you know, kind of, well, you know, like a almost a somewhat fresh faced woman living in Los Angeles. They don't really say why she's in Los Angeles. I mean, I would imagine she's, you know, trying to be in the entertainment industry, but they don't ever say that. So she just moved to L.A. to become a hooker for some reason. Like, you know, couldn't you just go somewhere else? No, I have to be in LA. I have to be a hooker in LA. So, you know, they don't give much of a backstory, but I guess she has no money and now she's a prostitute and she lives with Laura San Giacomo, who is clearly the more street smart, been around the block, tough girl. And she has like an accent, so you know she's tough. And they're roommates, and, you know, I guess she's been a whore longer, and she shows her like the whore ropes. She just like, they don't ever tell how they became friends, but she's like, hey, I'm a whore. I'll show you how it's done. But, you know, first of all, it's like this is a romantic, light Disney romantic comedy. And it's basically, she's a prostitute. So basically, you know, that's what happens. She's a prostitute. Things aren't going well. I think there's some pimp. Oh, no, she doesn't have a pimp. And I think they owe someone money or something. And then Richard Gere, I guess, is driving, but he doesn't know how to drive stick, and he's rich. And I don't know. He's in town. So he's something to do with, he wants to buy out some company or something. And he's driving to the hotel, and he keeps breaking down because he doesn't know how to drive stick. And then she comes up and, you know, she knows how to drive stick and offers him to drive him to the hotel. And then I guess she kind of charms him on the way to the hotel. And then he is like, all right, like, I guess, you know, you can come upstairs. And so they go upstairs and then like they hang out and then I guess, you know, she's going to stay the night. And then, he's in the bathroom. This is like a big, like cute moment. It's supposed to be kind of them like sort of like bonding a little bit. Like he walks in on her in the bathroom and she like hides something behind her back. And he's like, well, what is this? And she's like, nothing. And he's like, that's it. Get out. I don't want anyone that does drugs. You know, it's like, first of all, you just met some prostitute on a Hollywood, you know, Hollywood Boulevard. You're like, I can't believe you do drugs. This is not what I signed up for. I wanted a clean whore. So, and it turns out she's flossing. And then, you know, he loves that. He says something like, very few people surprise me. I thought she was doing drugs. She's just flossing. What a quirky prostitute. She's so much cooler than I thought she was. And then like she blows him. All right. That's the end of act one. That's the romantic setup. And then I don't really know what, you know, he's clearly, so she's cold-hearted corporate guy, kind of corporate raider guy. And, you know, they keep it kind of vague what he does. I love when they do that in these movies where they're just kind of like, he is a businessman with a lot of money and he's really cold-hearted and he is a really tough go-getter in the business world. And so that's kind of set up. And then he has to, you know, meet with some people, I guess the company that he wants to take over and, you know, liquidate or whatever. And she's like, someone tells him, oh, it'd be better if like, you know, you had a girl with you. And I guess he broke up with the girl that he was dating. And he's like, what, I just pay this prostitute for the weekend? She can pretend like she's with me. And I guess that's like a cute premise. And all right, so he hires her for, I think it's $3,000. And then there's that cute scene where she's like in the bathtub and she's like, I can't believe I'm going to get all the money. And then she goes under the water. It's really funny. So, you know, I think he tells her, oh, they're going to go to dinner. So this is the, you know, one of the most famous scenes. Like she, he's like, go to Rodeo Drive and buy like clothes, you know, that make you look like you're like a person. Cause she's literally wearing like a spandex outfit and like hoary, like short skirt, but it's like the spandex thing that's like the top, like is stretched over and looks like has like pins connected to the skirt. Like it just looks horrible. And like, I mean, she looks really slutty, you know, she's wearing like a horror outfit. And, she's going to a Rodeo Drive and I guess it's intimidating. And then she goes into some fancy store and the saleswomen are really like shitty. They're really rude to her. You know, I mean, you know, cause she's dressed horribly, you know, she went into the store, you know, to buy clothes and she's wearing like, you know, a skirt with like spandex stretched over her top or whatever with like safety pins in it. You know, and you know, she's at a place where dresses cost probably thousands of dollars. And then they're kind of rude. She's like, what the hell is this? You know, and they're like, get out of here. And I mean, I get it, but it's also like, come on, like, what do you expect? You're like in the most fancy area. I mean, yeah, LA is judgmental and shallow. And they're kind of rude to people who don't have money. Like, is this a new like, I can't believe they were rude to that prostitute who came in wearing in her underpants. She went in there not wearing any pants and they weren't cool to her. Like, yeah, that makes sense. So this part I love. All right, so she goes back to the hotel. She's really upset because everyone was mean. They were mean to her at the store. And then this part I think is really funny. And I feel like this is very indicative of the time. They did this in like kind of was like a movie trope from the 90s or even the 80s where, you know, Hector Elizondo is like the manager of the hotel and he like brings her in. She's upset and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I tried to, you know, buy clothes and they were mean to me. And, you know, Edward Richard Gere. He gave me all this money and, you know, they wouldn't let me buy clothes. And then like she takes out this huge wad of cash that she's just like wadded up into a ball and she like kind of like throws it in front of Hector Elizondo. And it's so funny because I feel like that was such a trope from back then where, like, to convey that someone was poor, it would be like they didn't know how to, like, handle money. Like, in that scene, like, she has all this money and like, they're trying to show, like, she's so poor. She doesn't even have, she doesn't even know how to use money. She doesn't know how to, how it works. Like, she just says, like, she's just, like, stuffed it into this ball. Like, I don't know how money works. What is this? Take this away from me. Like, I'm so poor. She's so not rich. I mean, you know, I understand she doesn't have a lot of money, but I mean, you would know how to handle money if you got it. It's paper. You would know how to, like, figure, you know, she's like treating it like it's this, like, really complicated Rubik's Cube. What is this? What is this money? And they keep doing that the whole movie. They do it later. So then I guess he makes some calls and then she goes to stores and buys all this shit. And then she goes back in and the famous thing where she's like, yeah, do you remember me? You wouldn't serve me. And they're like, I don't know. And then she's like, you work on commission, right? Big mistake. Huge. I have to go shopping. And then they're like, burn. Don't you feel stupid? Like, damn it. I mean, like, I guess those chicks would feel stupid, but it's also like, I'm sure they're doing fine. They, you know, they work on Rodeo Drive. I'm sure other people have come in, you know, besides that prostitute. Yeah, remember me? I'm the prostitute that wanted to buy a dress. Yeah, so I didn't buy it here. So clearly you're going out of business because no one else is going to buy from you. So, and you're supposed to be like, oh man, she's so great. She's so spunky. And she really got back at them. It's like everyone's dream. So there's that. And then they go to dinner. And this is what I was talking about before. They keep trying to convey how like poor she is and doesn't know things. So they go to dinner and she doesn't know how to, like, you know, work forks and stuff. Like, she doesn't know how to use utensils, which I guess you wouldn't know if you were like a prostitute. You wouldn't know the ins and outs of utensils. But I mean, I feel like they're not that hard to figure out. Like, that's always like a scene in a movie, like they did in Titanic, where he doesn't know how to use the utensils. He's like, what is this? Yeah, and they're like, don't worry, just start on the outside and go in. And it's like, just figure it out. Like, just, you know, it's not like the hardest situation. It's not the hardest problem to solve. And I guess this is when she's trying to eat oysters and, like, it slips out and goes flying across the room. And, you know, and then the guys love her because she's really charming and she's hot. I guess that's the main thing. All right. So then it goes on and, you know, basically what happens is, you know, they start to fall for each other. That's another thing. You know, she won't kiss him on the lips. That's too intimate. You know, like, I'll only blow you and lick your balls, but not kissing on the lips because that means too much. And I get it, but I think, you know, blowing someone is more intimate. I wonder if anyone's ever tried that argument. Like, look, I don't like to get too close and intimate on a first date, so why don't you just blow me? We don't have to kiss. You know, something a little more casual. So anyway, so it goes on and then they start falling for each other. And then Jason Alexander shows up as, like, an asshole that works for him. And he thinks that Julia Roberts is, like, a corporate raider or spy that is trying to fuck up the deal that they're working on with the guys. You know, and he's like, no, I think she's a spy. What do you know of her? And then he's like, she's not a spy. She's a whore. You know, she's a hooker. And then he's like, oh, and he, like, loves it. It's also really weird because it's Seinfeld, I guess, it was the first year that it was on. I guess it wasn't really getting a lot of attention. So you don't really know him at the time. But now looking back on it, it's fucking Costanza. So and he's like really kind of like a dark, ominous prick, like villain type. And he kind of hits on Julia Roberts at, like, they're at, like, some show or there's some, like, horse event or something. There's horses there. They're watching people play. Well, I think, like, polo. I don't know. There's horses there because it's rich. That's another. They're trying to show how rich it is. So there's horses and people on, like, polo people, players. So then I guess, and then this is another funny scene where, like, she gets mad at Richard Gere for saying, telling George Costanza that she's a prostitute, you know? And she's like, you know, you made me. No one's ever made me feel as cheap as you did at that moment, you know? And it's like, really? I mean, don't you blow dudes on the, you know, in their cars on the strip? Like, that was really disgusting when you told that guy I was a prostitute. That's the lowest I've ever sunk. I've never felt lower. Even though I just had a three-way with a homeless guy and a dog for $2. You really went too far. First of all, you've been living in a penthouse for like 4 days. You have all this money, all these new clothes. So there's like another thing where, so I guess she starts changing him to be like not as cold and callous, and he starts opening up to her, and he decides to not buy the company and liquidate it. He wants to like buy it and like help build it up, because that, you know, that was, it was kind of like they had an adversarial relationship, and he's like, I want to work with them. And you know, and then Costanza gets all mad and he comes to see him at the hotel, but he's not there. Julia Roberts is there, and he, you know, blames her for everything. And she, and then he starts like raping her, or trying to rape her. I mean, there's like, this is the other like insane thing. How did this movie get through the fucking powers that be? It's just like, I have a great idea for a movie. It's kind of like My Fair Lady, except she's a whore. Also, there's going to be a borderline rape scene, an attempted rape scene at the end. Oh, that's great. This is a romantic comedy. Yeah, it's really romantic. Don't just trust me. And it's a comedy about a whore who was almost raped. Cool. This sounds hilarious. I guess this is when Ted Bundy was running the studio. All right. So anyway, Richard Gere comes in and like stops the rape, and then and fires him. I hope. And I hope that was a lie. I hope he's not going to keep him on. Like, hey, this is ridiculous. You're trying to rape the whore that I love. All right, I'll see you on Monday. No, that's definitely a grounds for termination, I would think. So, I think she tells him some story about, like, I guess she had a shitty childhood, I'm assuming. And she's like, I used to have this dream of, you know, a white knight would show up and rescue me, you know. And he's like, oh, I don't want that. And then she's like, I'll give you a condo and I'll give you money. You can go back to school. And she's like, no. It's like, what are you talking about? Just fucking take it. No, I don't like that. I need the fairy tale. Like, it's just like, well, what fairy tale? You're a prostitute. It's like you're the fairy tale's over, dude. Just accept it. So I think he asks her to stay another night, you know, without paying her. And she's like, I'm out of here. I'm kind of going, I'm breezing through this fast. I'm kind of paraphrasing or whatever. I'm giving a very abridged version. And then I don't know exactly what happens, but then he has a moment where he like is like, oh my God, I have to see her again. And then he's in a limo. He's supposed to be going to the airport, and then he goes back to her shitty apartment. And that's the other thing. He's afraid of heights or something, but he's always in the penthouse because it's like the very best. So it's like, even though he hates it, he's like, he's always in the penthouse. And so then he goes up the fire escape to her. And she's on the top floor, of course, even though he's afraid. And he goes up with flowers, and then it has like the corniest ending. It's like, what did the princess do after the knight rescued her? She rescues him right back. And it's like, and then they cut and like some, or they pan out and some crazy homeless guy screaming, you know, and he's like, hey man, what's your dream, man? And then it like goes into the Roxette song. And, so yeah, basically, all right. So that's Pretty Woman, and you know, the main takeaways I took away from this are, it's funny to look back on this movie. I guess I understand the staying power it has. I think it, mainly for the Julia Roberts factor. As weird as it is, I mean, it is like a very well made movie, and it's almost like a they pulled us some kind of magic trick by making this movie work, because everything is there to not work, but for some reason it works. It's like one of these anomaly movies where you're just like, I guess it just works. I remember like not really liking it when I saw it. And I remember everyone like loving it. I just didn't really understand why. I was always like, yeah, I guess it's okay. And everyone like went nuts over her. I mean, and like, I guess I thought she was kind of hot. I didn't think she was like that amazing. I never thought Julia Roberts was that hot. I mean, and the other thing, like Mary's, I forgot, like she kind of was always early on, she was always playing like kind of a tough chick. You know, that was the role they always put her, I guess, because she was kind of tall and she kind of had a build, even though she was hot. Like she kind of had like a solid build. Because Mystic Pizza is very similar. Like she's kind of like a tough broad, you know, who's like on from the wrong side of the tracks. Like she's hot, but she can really handle herself. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm hot, but I'm also like, you know, I can handle being a prostitute. I can really take care of myself. It is amazing because right after this, she was huge. She was just in everything. She was unstoppable. And then I guess a few years later, things kind of started to go down again. But it is interesting. You know, she is good in the movie. And also, you know, I don't know if people remember, like Richard Gere had been a big star in the 70s. And I think the 80s were kind of a rough patch for him. And he wasn't doing very well. And this was like one of his big comeback movies. But yeah, I loved watching all the 80s, and even though it's 90, like 90 movie tropes about like poor people. Like I said, I think that part about the money is like the funniest thing to me. Like poor people, they just don't know how money works. Isn't that hilarious? And I think it, you know, it is funny because I feel like if you made the same movie, not like a comedy, a romantic comedy, no one would really give a shit. You wouldn't have any sympathy for the horror character. People would just be kind of, I think it's funny that you make like this romantic, heartwarming comedy. At the end, everyone's like, oh God, I love that whore was so great. She really warmed my heart. She won me over, just like Richard Gere says at the end. And I mean, I guess that's realistic that, you know, this multi-millionaire successful corporate guy just would fall in love with a prostitute and, you know, take her home. I mean, I guess that is plausible, but not someone who like would look like Richard Gere. Like that could happen, but it'd be some disgusting fat guy who is like, you know, on the spectrum and has, you know, eats paste, has no, you know, way to like, doesn't know how to talk, like an incel basically, not Richard Gere, who basically could, you know, get any chick he wants. Yeah, so he's decided to finally settle down with this prostitute because she's really cool. I want to see the sequel where, like, 4 months in, she just takes him for all his fucking money. And they're like, I told you not to marry that prostitute. I thought she was cool. She helped me with my car. Really? That's why you married her? The prostitute? Why'd you marry her? Well, I thought she was using drugs and she was using floss. I thought that was great. You're right, stupid. Now you have no money. This prostitute took all the money, dummy. I can't believe that prostitute fucked me over. I liked her. She was so quirky that 4 days. That's the other thing. He's known her for 4 days. He's marrying a prostitute. He's in love and he's running off with the prostitute he's known for 4 days because she did a couple of cute things when they were hanging out. All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Plot Smokers. I hope you enjoyed it. Go check out Pretty Woman and I'll see you next time.